to me.
This is serious business. What the world needs today is Jesus. The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
And hello, everyone. Welcome to our program, The Truth Will Set You Free, Bible Prophecy Edition. I'm Vic Batista, along with my co-host Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. We thank you for being part of today's program. We have a great program prepared for you today as we continue making our way through the book of Isaiah chapter 43, with a message titled, The Comforter. So we encourage you to get your Bibles ready. Those of you that follow us on social media, we'd love for you to share this program with your friends and family so they can follow along with us. But before I continue, I'm going to ask my co-host Nathan Jones if he will open us up with a word of prayer.
Lord, we thank you again so much for this opportunity to dive into your word as we start 2026. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, we are with you another year, and Lord, so we're another year closer to your return to set up, first to rapture your church, and then to set up your kingdom upon your second coming. Lord, we look forward to that, and we pray that as you asked us to pray, thy kingdom come, Lord, we pray for that. And we pray for your blessing on those of us, Lord, who anxiously wait for your return. In your precious name, amen.
Amen. Again, you're tuned into A Truth Will Set You Free, Bible Prophecy Edition. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. Again, our message is that of the Comforter as we look at Isaiah chapter 43. And of course, before we continue, I'm going to welcome my co-host to the program, Nathan Jones. Nate, what a comfort it is to be with you in the next program.
Absolutely, brother. Hey, since folks, we've been doing the Truth Will Set You Free podcast, recording it since 2010. Now we're up to 2026. Vic and I are becoming old men. We're not the youthful middle agers that we were. We're now the older middle agers. But if you've been going on this journey with us all these years, we just thank you so much. We're going to dive into this year. We're going to teach almost weekly. The Truth Will Set You Free, verse by verse. We'll probably finish up the book of Isaiah throughout the rest of this year. And I just hope that this program's been a blessing to you, as it has been both to Vic and me. And brother, your friendship all these years has meant a lot to me as well.
Nathan, the same here. What a joy it is. I know you mentioned about getting old together, but do you remember when we didn't have gray hair?
Oh, wow. Yes, that was quite a few years ago.
But hey, that's the joy of serving the Lord and our friendship. I'm also appreciative for you, your wonderful family, and just that we get to do this. But Nate, maybe someone is new and they're talking about, wow, these guys known each other so long. Do they have any of the old programs recorded? Can you share with them how they can get a hold of those resources?
Oh, absolutely. Well, you can catch older episodes of The Truth Will Set You Free. Vic and I have been through so many books of the Bible. We prefer the Calvary Chapel method of going verse by verse. So you can find us going through the book of Revelation. As a matter of fact, we even wrote a book called The Mighty Angels of Revelation based on those teachings. We've been through 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and so many books, Ezekiel, Daniel. If you want to catch up, go to christinprophecy.org, click media, and then podcasts, and we'll be there. You could go catch up with us. Our RSS feeds Apple, Spotify, Audible, and pray.com. So you can get a wealth of all our library of prophetic teachings through those platforms as well. And if you want even more, we have our Christ in Prophecy television and radio programs, which are also on these platforms. We podcast them. And so you're probably wondering why the RSS feed that you're using has The Truth Will Set You Free and Christ in Prophecy TV and Christ in Prophecy Radio. Well, we want you to grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And Lamb and Lion Ministries offers so many different outreaches to help you connect with God and be excited about his return. So those are the platforms.
Nathan, and in addition to those resources, from time to time, we'll have an opportunity to go speak at different events if we're invited. We'll also put together a few books that people can have their hands on. Maybe they're traveling, they'd like to go and have a hard copy or a book with them. Nathan, I love your book that you just that the Lord gave to you, and it was published not too long ago. Might you be able to share a little bit about that book?
Okay. Well, Vic's talking about the coming millennial kingdom. It's a whole book dedicated to what life will be like for us when Jesus reigns on earth. Like I also said, Vic and I wrote the book, The Mighty Angels of Revelation. It teaches about the 72 angels or groups of angels you can find in the book of Revelation. And both Pastor Steve Howell and I also wrote a book called The 12 Faith Journeys of the Minor Prophets. And you can find all of that on our Christ in Prophecy Vicmedia.org website. Just click store or on Amazon.com. And Vic, last year you came out with a pretty amazing book too about Revelation, right?
Yeah, Nate, and that's actually called Navigating the Revelation Letters, and like your books, the ones that we also wrote together, people can find those on Amazon or Kindle. And it's just from time to time, it's nice to write a book more relevant, the book of Revelation, but applicable to the churches of today. And that's what Navigating the Revelation Letters focuses on. And it's not a thick, big book, but if people, let's say they're traveling, they just want to throw it in their pocket, in their backpack or their just something to read. That's what we do with our books, right, Nate? So it's another additional resource.
Yeah, and Vic and I have both are working on new books for 2026. I'm working on What Does the Bible Really Say About the Rapture? It's a book that answers 150 questions related to the rapture and second coming. I'm just in the beginning of writing that. Our book, The Mighty Angels of Revelation, has just been bought by Harvest House Publishers, and they are going to make a second edition, and so that'll get out to the larger market. And Vic, I believe you're writing a book on Thessalonians, right?
Yeah, Nathan, and it kind of, I think it's going to piggyback with yours about the rapture as well. First and Second Thessalonians focusing on the raptured up church and what that looks like. So, Nate, I think it's going to be fantastic this upcoming year, the resources we'll have for people.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping the rapture happens before we have to get the publication. But if not, you know, folks, we love to teach the Lord about the Lord and connect you to Him. And so we hope through whether you're podcasting, radio, television, go through our website, if you're reading our books, we hope they've been a blessing to you and will be a blessing to you in this new year.
Oh, thanks, Nate. And it's always, like I said, it's a lot of fun doing these programs. But not only that, but going through this amazing journey through the book of Isaiah, Nate. We are in chapter 43. And as we open up in chapter 43, again, the message is the comforter. It's really some amazing passages. We're going to read quite a few verses. So we want to invite you, if you have a Bible and would like to follow along with us, we're going to be reading from the New King James Bible. And this way you can follow along if you mark up your Bible. So if you take notes on the margins of your Bible, we would encourage you to do that as we continue in chapter 43. So Nate, would you be able to start us out in chapter 43, verses 1 through 10, and I'll do verses 11 through 20 just to connect the message for our listeners?
Okay, that's a big chunk. All right, starting with verse 1. All right. But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who's called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. Bring out the blind people who have eyes, and deaf who have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this, and show us former things? Let them bring out their witnesses, that they may be justified. Or let them hear the say, it is truth. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me.
Verse 11, I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I have declared and saved, I have proclaimed, and there was no foreign God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. Indeed, before the day was, I am He, and there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. I work, and whom will reverse it? Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I will send to Babylon and bring them all down as fugitive, that Chaldeans who rejoice in their ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, that Creator of Israel, your king. Thus is the Lord who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariots and horses, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinguished, they are quenched like a quick. Do not remember, excuse me, like a wick. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. You shall not know it. I will even make the road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostrich, because I give water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise. What a powerful passage. I know it was a long, we read a little bit, Nate, but what an amazing passage.
Yes, it's all about God being our Redeemer. And what is Redeemer? If you go to dictionary.com, it's basically one who redeems. Okay, so what does redeem mean? It means to buy or pay off, to clear a payment, to buy back, to recover, to restore, especially from captivity. And there, that definition seems to define it here. Bear in mind that the time of Isaiah is about 2,700 years ago. The northern tribes of Israel have been carted off by the Assyrians because of their wickedness and spread out through the Assyrian Empire. The Jerusalem and Judea in the south would wait till about 586 BC, when then a new empire, Babylon, would come and then would scatter them to the Babylonian Empire. And then we knew once a remnant returned back to the land that they'd be there for a few hundred years until 70 AD, when the Romans would scatter them across the earth. And so here you've got a few different exiles. You've got the Assyrian exile, you've got the Babylonian exile, and then you've got the Roman exile. So for any Jewish person reading this 2,700 years ago, or even today, this would be relevant to them, because it's a call for God to bring back their people, to redeem them from the earth, to gather them from the four corners of the earth. Now, they were only spread to the four corners of the earth during the Roman Empire. So this is a future prophecy that, folks, we are living in right now. We are watching the return of the Jewish people being regathered from the four corners of the earth and returning to the land of Israel. It took 2,700 years for this prophecy to start being fulfilled.
Nathan, and what's amazing, I mean, just all the promises, all the what we find is one of these passages that is very encouraging. And that's what I love about the book of Isaiah, like you and I have been teaching. We go, it has its downs and then it has its ups. The downs, of course, God's correction, the mistakes that they made, how God is going to address them. But then chapter 43 also speaks about his comfort for them as a redeemer. And I love the way that you broke that down. What does that mean, redeeming, to buy back, right, to restore? And we know the Jewish people, they have gone through a lot, and they will continue to go through a lot. But the promises here is, as verse 1 open up, the Lord says, thus is the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I redeemed you and called you by your name. And I love this. It says, you are mine. Isn't that cool, Nate?
I love that. I mean, and that's what Jesus says to not just the Jewish people, but to those Gentiles who come to accept the Lord as Savior, Jews as well, that he created us and he provided a way to redeem us from our sins. And that is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Son of God. And so he wants to fill heaven with people who want to be with him forever. It's not we're required to, you know, we're not robots who are forced to love him. He lets us choose him or not. And when we choose him, we get to be with him forever and in that perfect fellowship that we were always meant to have with the God of the universe. You know, it's all of human history, folks, is about God's plan of redemption to get humanity back into that perfect relationship we had in the Garden of Eden, when we could walk and talk and fellowship with our Creator. And the sacrifice that God had to make that happen, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, bringing the sins of the world upon him. I mean, we can't fathom how difficult and how amazing that sacrifice was. And he did it all so that we could be saved. It's just mind-blowing when you stop to think about it.
Oh, Nathan, absolutely. And as we go through our trials, our tribulations, our challenges, all the things that we face, but also God's promises are for us as well who have a relationship with Him. Nathan, I know that verse 2 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall flame scorch you. You and I, in our years, have passed through a lot of waters and flames with trials and tribulations and fire. And God has always been there for us. We haven't drowned yet or burned to death, right?
No, because that passage reminds me of Psalm 23, that Psalm of David, where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness." Why? For his name's sake. Brother, that's how I feel too. I feel like there's times where the trials and tribulations of this world just seem so overwhelming. But the Lord promises his children that he will sustain them during the difficulties. He will give them peace that passes understanding, and he will give them a future eternity, first in the millennial kingdom and then on into eternity, in a kingdom that's defined by peace and righteousness and justice and bounty. Brother, you hear people, especially atheists, say all the time, you have to give up so much for God. It's like, no, you don't. You're gaining so much by knowing God. You're giving up the sin that enslaves you, and instead you're getting the peace and freedom that comes only with Jesus Christ.
What a great point, Nathan. The gain that we get in the Lord. For those of you that just tuned in, you tuned into a Truth to Set You Free Bible Prophecy Edition. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. We're looking at Isaiah chapter 43, speaking about Jesus, the Redeemer, the Comforter, and what a wonderful plan he has for our lives. Nate, that's a very good point. A lot of times people say, I found Jesus, but according to the Bible, he found us, right?
Yeah,
While we were still
absolutely.
sinners, Christ died for us. And I love that. And God's plan, Nathan, I mean, just everything that is outlined in this chapter, it's just so encouraging and so comforting. A reminder of God's past blessings and God's future blessings, how God had been with his people, how God continues to be with his people. We notice the reminder there, verse 3, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. And as you pass through the waters, remember Nathan met Moses and the children of Israel, and just all those ways that God protected them, and he continues to protect them today.
Oh, yeah. Well, look at verse 4. You are precious in my sight. You have been honored, and I have loved you. I mean, that is so personal. You hear a lot from people who are down on the Old Testament. They say, oh, God's always angry, and he's always calling down wrath. And, I don't like that God. I like the New Testament God, Jesus. And it's like, well, you don't, it's clear you haven't read the Old Testament. Yes. God is wrathful when people are sin and rebellion, which destroys them and their nation, and rightfully so, right? We are upset when our children are rebellious and disobey and hurt themselves. But in the end, we have the same thing as parents. We love them. They're precious to us. We would do anything to rescue our children. And God is like that. He's a heavenly Father who approaches us the same way we would approach our own sin children. Excuse me, with love and care. And so, yeah, it really shows how we are made in the image of God, because even though we don't look like God, there is that same personality, that same care, that same concern that the Lord built into us that reflects himself.
Oh, Nathan, that is so true. And as you and I, we have children, and talking about care and concerns, our kids at times they were a little bit rebellious. They would not listen, and we as caring parents will redirect them. Sometimes it took a little bit of discipline, a little pow-pow, as we say, but we did it in a way that it was to correct them so that they would not wreck their lives. God is the same way with us and His children, the children of Israel. And from time to time, God's correcting hand will be upon them. But nevertheless, those are precious words that you just wrote, that you just read there, Nathan, about how God cares for his people. I just thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, and we tend to be a little self-centered as humans and think, well, God did this all for us, but Verse 7, yes, he did, but also, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created, why? For my glory. You know, again and again, we see the Lord do amazing things in prophecy. I think of when you read Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39, the result of God stepping in, defending Israel in a future war where Russia and the Islamic world tries to annihilate Israel. And God steps in and with supernatural wrath, he brings down hailstones and earthquakes and turns the armies on each other and destroys them. And he does it to protect Israel, yes, but he says he does it for his namesake. And that's who we say here that we, the fact that we are redeemed by God is a blessing to us, but it shows his glory to the universe that he has redeemed somebody who's lost. That means something to him. That's important to him. And he's very proud of saying, look, I redeemed that person, and I redeemed that person, and I redeemed. Now, we know not all will be redeemed because we have a choice. We could choose whether to surrender our lives to Jesus or not, but he does it for his namesake and all for his glory. And we get to bask in that glory forever. Isn't that amazing, Vic?
Oh, Nathan, that's one of the privileges and blessings that we have from following the Lord and knowing that peace and comfort that comes from our relationship with Him. And He lets us know here, Nathan, in this passage, who He is. Sort of reminds of the Old Testament where Jesus was saying, the Lord was saying, "I am the I am." And in verse 11, I am the Lord, and besides me, there is no savior. There's a lot of religions today, right, Nathan, that offer people a lot of wonderful things, but at the end, it's empty and bankrupt. And here, the Bible promises, the Lord says, "I am the Lord, and besides me, there is no savior." There's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me." People get upset at us when we say that, but we didn't quote that. That's what the Bible says, right, Nathan, and we believe it.
Yeah, John 14, 6, right? Says that only God is, Jesus Christ is the only way to reach the Father. And so Buddhism, Taoism, Muhammad, Confucius, all the isms that are out there, none of them will bring us to God. They're all workspace, and you can't work your way to heaven. The Bible says our works are like filthy rags. No matter even our best intentions, they're marred by our corruption in us, the desire for pride and self fulfillment, and just they're never perfectly selfless, and that's what the Lord's looking for. And we can never reach that or get to that level of perfection that God alone has, and so that's why He sacrificed Himself, so the perfect for the imperfect, so that we might be saved. And I just love it how He's again and again and throughout this chapter here in chapter 43, telling the Jewish people, I love you. I'm your redeemer. I'm rescuing you. I'm saying, don't worry. I'm going to take care of you. And remember, they're living in tremendously tumultuous times. So these are meant to be comforting words. And unfortunately, as we get into the final section of this chapter, we'll realize that the Jewish people are just swatting his hand away, and they continue to reject him.
Nathan, and we spoke about that in some of our previous programs, how sad that is, that